Singing, thank you for that. And as I said before, it's good to have visitors here with us tonight. You make sure that you greet them, let them know that they're welcome, and that you're glad to see them here tonight. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll get to this verse in just a second, but we're continuing tonight in our series on worship. What is worship? And we've been in this series for about 3 weeks now, and we're in message number 4 in this series. I'm not quite sure how long we're going to go with it, but it's just a short series. But we want to focus on the Lord, and we want to accurately worship the Lord according to truth. And so tonight we're continuing with the message, the aim of our worship. And last week we spoke of our worship in terms of it needing to be a participatory worship. Everybody remember that? A participatory worship. And we talked about how our worship should actually be a response of our entire lives. Worship is not just a weekly event. We talked about how it's not a switch that you can flip and all of a sudden we come and we worship God. You know, on Wednesday night in the middle of the week, okay, we just set the rest of it aside and we flip a switch and we're ready to worship God. And then Thursday and Friday and Saturday come along, we go about our business, and Sunday's here, oh, we got to worship the Lord. That's not what true worship is. Worship is not a weekly event. It's actually living. It's a way of living in dependence upon and gratitude towards the Lord. And corporate worship is an important thing. It's an expression unto the Lord, but it has to be fueled by lives that of personal and private devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Real worship should actually be an extension of our daily life. Corporate worship should be an extension of our daily life. Worship in the house of God needs to be fueled by daily living. And we also talked about how our worship needs to be earnest. It needs to be sincere. We talked about having reverence and passion for the things of God, not being flippant or casual or superficial or frivolous, but instead setting a goal and an aim of reverence and passion and doing the very best that we can possibly do for the Lord, not settling for second best, not settling for, you know, whatever we have to do just to get by. We talked about how worship and service demands sacrifice. And we talked about how David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. It's a heart attitude of surrender. It's a heart attitude of sacrifice. He is worthy of my best. And so those are the things that we talked about last week. And so tonight we're going to continue on in our study here, and the first principle that we need to look at is that our worship is only acceptable in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 9. For in Him, I better get to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect, or complete, through sufferings. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And I want to point out how our worship is acceptable only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the focus of real worship. We come to the Lord. We come to God in Jesus Christ by His worthiness. That's how we come into God's presence. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He gathers up our modest worship and presents his own perfect offering unto the Lord. I want you to look with me in Hebrews. We're going to spend a little bit of time here, but Hebrews chapter 8. And I want to stress how everything is only because of and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason that we have access to God and the only reason that we are allowed to come into the presence of a holy God is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. So here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest. He's at the right hand of the throne of the majesty. He's a minister of the sanctuary, the true. Look at chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for who? For us. Jesus Christ appearing in the presence of God in the true sanctuary for us. Now let's cross-reference that with chapter 10. All right, with that in mind, look at chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him, the veil, His body, we have access to God the Father, into the very presence of God. And Jesus Christ, our great high priest, is a minister of the sanctuary, appearing in the presence of God for us. And He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. Because of Christ, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us worship God in truth, giving Him our absolute best. Because of Christ, amen. It's only because of Christ's atoning work that we can enter into the presence of God in the first place. But because of that, we have access to the very throne of God. We can draw near to the Lord. And so, we need to strive for excellence in our worship. But I want you to understand, and we talked about this last week, we don't settle for second best. We don't give God the second hand. He is worthy. He's a great God, and He is worthy of our absolute best. And we strive for excellence, but I want you to understand the balance. We don't see the technical side of things or the quality of things as an end unto themselves. It's not about just being the best at music. It's not about just being the best because we need to do our best. It's not, those things are not ends into themselves. And it's also being, striving for excellence is not even a means to gain God's favor or acceptance. I want you to understand this. We encourage a mindset of service unto the Lord, rather than performance in our ministries. And sometimes people can misunderstand that. Oh, we're seeking to be the best that we can and we're striving for excellence in whatever area we serve in because we're trying to perform. That's not what it's about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him what He deserves. And it's about having a mindset of service unto the Lord realizing that ultimately our worship is pleasing to God only because we come through Christ, not because of what we can do. Yes, we strive for excellence, but it's balanced by the right motive of the heart. The motive being, He's God. He deserves our best, but it's only acceptable through Christ. Because all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And what can we do as sinful human beings if it wasn't for the righteousness of Christ? You understand what I'm saying? He deserves our best. And we strive to do our best. And we give God what He deserves. But it's still only acceptable because of Christ. Our worship is acceptable through Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1 verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by who? By Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We're producing fruit in the Christian life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's unto the glory and praise of God. Look at Hebrews 13. Verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do good, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. By Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That sacrifice, if it's to be acceptable unto the Lord, is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The point is that to truly worship the Lord, we must exalt and honor and uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be the focus of our worship in order to be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. And so, because of who He is and what He deserves, we strive to sacrifice and give of ourselves and our very best unto the Lord, because that is what He deserves. But still, it's balanced in the fact that it's only acceptable to Christ, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about what we can do. And so the quality or the technical side of things or whatever you want to call it, that really, really means nothing if the motive of the heart is not right. You understand what I'm saying? And so our worship needs to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second principle tonight is our response of worship is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3. Our response of worship is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our focus is on Christ. Our worship is acceptable because of Christ. But our worship is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. As God, part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit deserves our adoration and our praise as much as the Father and the Son. However, the Holy Spirit of God chooses not to glory Himself, but rather to point us to whom? Christ. Look with me at John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is and as the Father is. And yet He chooses not to glory in Himself, but point us to Christ. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Look at verse 14. Jesus is speaking here. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And so, we find here that the Holy Spirit leads us to the Father in worship, because He glorifies and points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way into the Father's presence. The Holy Spirit is our guide. You understand that? Understand what I'm saying? Jesus Christ is the way, the access into the Father's presence. The Holy Spirit is our guide. We can come to the Father in worship because of Jesus Christ. We want to come into the Father's presence in worship because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you follow what I'm saying here? We have access because of Christ. We can come into the Father's presence because of Christ, but we want to because of the work of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? How do we want to come into the Father's presence because of the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, He does a lot of things. But first and foremost, He assures us of our position and our standing in Christ by the grace of God. Look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." One of the things I'm most grateful for, is the Holy Spirit does a lot of things, as I said, but one of the things that I am most grateful for is the assurance that the Holy Spirit of God brings into my life that I am a child of God. Because there are a lot of people and a lot of religions and even some Baptist preachers out there who would teach that you know, you got to hold out faithful to the end or else you're going to lose your salvation. And my question to that is, how in the world would you ever know what is the point at which you would lose your salvation? Is it one little sin? Is it a lie? Or is it some great thing and oh, that's enough and you finally have lost your salvation? And it can be so discouraging to somebody who wants to please the Lord because they have no assurance. Because we sin every day, all the time. But the Holy Spirit of God brings full assurance to the child of God who is right with the Lord, who's not grieving the Spirit of God, that you are a child of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Now, it's possible for somebody to doubt their salvation, to be truly saved, and doubt their salvation. And whenever somebody has come to me and says, you know, I need some help. Brother Demlo, could you help me? I don't know if I'm saved. I think I am at times, and then other times, I just, how in the world could I be saved? I just struggle with this. And my first question to them is, do you know for sure you're right with the Lord? Is there sin in your life somewhere? Because what happens when we willfully sin? We grieve the Spirit of God. And when we've got sin in our lives and our life is overrun with weeds of sin, The Holy Spirit is grieved and he can't do the job that he's supposed to do and wants to do, and that's bring full assurance of our standing with the Father. And so I ask him, you got sin in your life somewhere that you're holding on to? Because if you're right with the Lord and you love the Lord, there's no way that the Holy Spirit of God is not going to do his work. How's your walk with the Lord? I ask him this question too. Do you have any kind of devotional time? And usually the answer is no. Usually they're like, well, no. I'm not very consistent at it. You know, maybe once or twice in a week, or maybe once or twice every month. But how in the world can you develop a relationship of closeness that brings confidence and assurance that I'm a child of God? See, the Holy Spirit, that's one of his jobs to the saint, is to assure us of our standing. And you know what? When we have that assurance and that confidence, that full assurance, it should cause us to want to draw near to the Father and give him the praise that he is due. Another aspect of this is that the Holy Spirit of God fills us for the work of praise. We need the Holy Spirit's power in order to accomplish anything of spiritual value. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Now, once you're saved, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit who's a permanent resident in your life. And that never changes. But that's not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit of God for service. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit of God's power in order to serve the Lord. We can't accomplish anything in the power of the flesh. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And having the indwelling Holy Spirit as a permanent resident is not the same thing as being empowered or being filled with the Spirit of God for service. You know, when the cup or the vessel is dirty, there's no room for it to be filled up with the Spirit of God. When it's full of worldliness, when it's full of carnality, when it's full of sin, there's no room for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be clean. We need to be right with the Lord. We need to be walking circumspectly. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to truly worship the Lord. We need that. Without it, we're just wasting time. And whatever ministry we serve in, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what? We don't focus unduly on the Holy Spirit in our worship, but we seek to exalt Christ as the Spirit Himself desires to do. You know, the charismatics and the evangelicals of our day, they will often overemphasize the Spirit. You know, the whole waving of the hands and being slain in the Spirit and speaking in tongues as, you know, evidence that I've been slain in the Spirit. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. And you know that it's not of God because the Spirit points to Christ, not Himself. However, we humbly seek the Spirit's help in our weakness to enable us to truly worship God. Because we're powerless in our flesh, folks. We can't do anything of spiritual value in the flesh. And so we rest on His divine enablement to the glory of God. All of our ministries need the power of the Spirit of God to go before us, to enable us. You know, we can become pretty affluent in and practiced up and talented and skilled in anything. You know, let's say music, for example. I could stand up here and I could sing for you to the best of my ability, and it could come out and sound angelic. All the practice, all the work, all the training that's gone into it. But if it's not done with the right heart, and if it's not empowered by the Spirit of God, it's nothing. It's vanity. I can't tell you how many times, folks, I have probably sung thousands and thousands of specials in church. And without fail, I stand up there with knees trembling, saying, "Lord, help me sing to You. Help me to glorify You with my voice, with my service. God, I need Your help. It doesn't matter how good I am or how good somebody else is, how practiced up we are. We need the Holy Spirit of God for it to be of value and for it to be acceptable to the Father." And so you understand what I'm saying? We give our best and we strive for excellence, but it has to be balanced, because it's only acceptable through Christ, and it's only empowered by the Spirit of God. The blessing of it all is, there's a reason why the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Sometimes the quality of it, in musical terms or whatever, it's not that great. But when the heart is right, and when it's done with the Spirit of God, that's a sweet sacrifice and a sweet sound to God the Father. That's worship. And that's the way it needs to be in all of our ministries. You know, you might feel like, "I'm not a very good speaker. I'm not very eloquent. And when it comes to witnessing to somebody, I don't know what to say. I don't think I can do a very good job." But you know what Jesus said to His disciples? "Don't worry about what you're going to say. In that hour, I will give thee what you should say." When we have the Holy Spirit of God filling our lives, we may not be a very good speaker, but the Spirit of God can take that vessel that is clean, and the Spirit of God can take that vessel that is yielded and make them something that is influential and make the difference in somebody else's life. All you need to do is be willing to be filled with the Spirit of God. "Lord, I want to serve You. I want to be a witness for You. I'm not that great, but I give You what I have. Use me to make a difference in somebody's life." And then step out by faith and let the Lord do His work. That's what brings glory to God. Our response of worship is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And the last principle here tonight is that our worship should promote the unity and the edification of the body of Christ. Our worship needs to promote unity and the edification of the body of Christ. Look with me at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promise made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And in this context, we see here the Apostle Paul giving admonition to these people. He says the things that were written aforetime are for our learning, and we want you to have the same mind as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse 6 that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in there in the first two verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Worship should promote the unity and edification of the body. You know, this church, the body of Christ, is not an affinity group. You know what I mean by that? Where we all have the same likes and we all have the same dislikes. No, we're a bunch of saved sinners whom only the Holy Spirit of God can unify. We all have different likes. We all have dislikes. We don't all have the same mind. And so we're just a bunch of people who are saved by grace that the Spirit of God wants to unify together for the purpose of glorifying God. We need to fight. Now here's my point. We need to fight or guard against the rampant individualism and self-expression of our age and our culture. You see that all the time, don't you? You know, express yourself. That's kind of the theme, the motto. And be who you are. It's all about me. It's all about number one and individualism. You know, you see it in professional athletes all the time. You know, they're in a team sport, but they're in it to pad their stats, to build up themselves. And a lot of times in churches, the worship is all about self-expression, all about drawing attention to me. And we need to fight and guard against individualism and self-expression. That's our nature, to gratify and exalt self. What we need to be doing is actively encouraging and building up the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4. And this is what our worship ought to do. It ought to promote unity and edification, the building up of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. And by the way, This is not even part of the message, but I feel like I need to say it. There is one Lord and one faith. You've got all these different religions out there, and they're all promoting their, you know, their Bible and their teachings and so on, but the Bible says there's only one God. There's only one faith. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? And a lot of times you get this, oh, you think you're better than we are. You're holier than thou. No, it's not that at all. I just know what the Bible says, that there's one Lord and one faith, and I want to follow that one. There's not all kinds. And there's not all different ways to God. Oh, we all have the same God. You got your way and I got my way, but we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. If you're not going God's way, you're going the wrong way. I don't know why that came up. And there's only one baptism. That's water baptism. By immersion. There's no such thing as Holy Spirit baptism as you see in evangelical and charismatic and sometimes even Baptist churches today. There's no such thing. It's not scriptural. There's one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Skip down to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, by the way, I was trying to speak that truth in love just a second ago. I wasn't trying to get on anybody, just in case you were thinking I was. Just telling the truth according to God's word. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every member has a part. Every member has a role to play, and it's for the edification of the body of Christ. There's no individualism in the church of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. He says the peace of God needs to rule in your heart, to the which ye are called. We're called to peace in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Our worship needs to promote unity and edification of the body. And we need to admonish one another in psalms and hymns, putting on charity, putting on meekness, putting on humility. Look also with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. By the way, what are you provoking by your life to the members of Black Road Baptist Church? He says here, provoke one another unto love and to good works. Are people encouraged and inspired and challenged to grow in their faith and their service to the Lord by your life? Or do people see carnality and worldliness and a lack of spiritual desire? Maybe more interested in the worldly things or things that please me in my life than serving Christ. Does your life inspire others and provoke others unto good works? And he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of approaching. The things that we do, our service to the Lord, the songs that we sing, you know what? They're acceptable because of Christ. They need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. And the things that we do need to edify the body of Christ. And so you know what? We're going to avoid, you know, the novelty or change for its own sake, just for the sake of change. We're not going to do that. However, we always want to strive to keep the health of the whole body in mind when it comes to change, when it comes to our worship, when it comes to trying new things. You know what? We're not going to seek to promote personal agenda in any area of service. And sometimes people get this thing about them where, you know, this is the thing that I do well and this is my niche. And this is just what I do. This is my thing. And they don't have a heart that says, I'm willing to do anything that the Lord wants me to do. You know, and if the pastor doesn't let them serve in a particular capacity for whatever reason, they get all upset and they get bent out of shape. Well, this is what I do. This is who I am. He's keeping me from serving God. I don't think so. You know, there's this in particular person I'm thinking of. Not, you don't know them. This particular lady has accused myself or Pastor Custer of keeping her from serving God. See, there's a certain standard that is required of a particular person if they want to serve in this particular ministry. And she's not willing to change her standard. She's not willing to change her lifestyle. She wants it her way, and she still wants to be able to say she can serve God. She's not willing to submit herself to pastoral authority. And so the pastor says, I'm sorry. You can't serve in this capacity because here's the standard that's required of you. And so she's like, well, I'm good at this. I can really help. You're keeping me from serving God. No. Your bad attitude and stubborn, unsubmissive will is keeping you from serving God. Because our service is only acceptable through Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, with the right heart motive. Understand what I mean? And if it's not done that way, it doesn't promote unity and edification of the body of Christ. It's all about me and individualism. And that's not honoring the Lord. We don't seek to promote personal agendas in any area of service. And I want you to know, folks, as your pastor, I am prayerfully and deliberately seeking the Lord to lead me for the good of the body as a whole. In whatever we do, whatever ministry we have, whatever standard that we set up, I'm actively, deliberately seeking the Lord for His leadership and the edification of the body of Christ. We need to seek to exhort one another, to consider one another's needs before our own, as the Scriptures teach. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm almost done. Two more passages of Scripture and I'm done. The mindset is, Lord, what is going to bring glory to You? What is it that You want us to be doing the direction that you want us to be going, so that you are glorified and the name of Christ is lifted up. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned, one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, seeking to consider others' needs before our own. That's a biblical principle. Look at Philippians chapter 2. And these are the things that promote unity in the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. See, our worship unto the Lord is not about us as individuals, but rather exalting Christ and glorifying God through unity and the edification of the body of Christ. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. And to truly worship the Lord, it can only be because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, and it must promote edification in the body of Christ. Then the Lord is pleased and it's acceptable. And then we can be what God wants us to be and be effective and be the light that Plaque Road Baptist Church needs to be for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these truths. Thank you for your word. Father, help us to apply these biblical principles in our daily lives. Father, to seek to glorify you in all that we do. Father, you are worthy of our praise and our worship. And I pray that you would make us fruitful and effective in our ministries. And Lord, that you would receive the glory and the honor from all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention tonight. Good to see you folks. Try not to keep you too late. But it's good to come together and worship the Lord together. Amen. You have a good second half of the week. Be on purpose about what you do for Christ. Seek to find somebody that you can make a difference in their life this week. The Lord gives opportunities every day if you're looking. All right. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. God is a blessing.